It is April the 17th, 2019, from the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California, on this Wednesday afternoon. Hope your day is going well. Well, I just got back from the theater watching a movie. Amazing Grace, a documentary that was filmed in 1971 by, I believe, one of the greatest voices in African-American history, Aretha Franklin. If you haven't seen the movie, this whole presentation is a plug for the movie. You see, I was alive and well in 1971. I recall when that was done, though I had never seen pictures or the films of it, because as James Cleveland, the late James Cleveland, who was also in the documentary with Aretha Franklin, oh my goodness, to see them together speaking, touching, talking, looking eyeball to eyeball was an historical masterpiece. And to hear Aretha sing the songs that I was raised upon while I was active in the African American Christian church, I cried halfway through the movie and utterly enjoyed it. I want to purchase it, have it in my library, and when I want to hear good singing, church singing, like church choir when I was a youngster, ooh, what a film. I literally love it. Now, in keeping with me, because you know John Coleman, I'll never leave you stranded. I didn't go by myself. I went with a young man from the community, going on 22. And you need to hear his opinion of that classic documentary as opposed to mine. Well, he won't give it because he don't want to be around me, because that was the movie of the year, or the documentary of the year in my book. Man, the clothes the people wore in the film were authentic from back in the day. The hairstyles, because you know I'm growing my hair back. I'm growing my natural back. And I recall how I looked back then. Young? Are you kidding me? I had just been married a couple of years. And to see that film and to go back to that time and to hear the music that was Hallmark music in the church was amazing. Go see the film if you're a day over 50. You need to go see the film. It is not a religious film. If you went to see the film, you would know why black men did not want to go to church with their wives back in the 50s and 60s. It's because music in the church was sung like that, and it made a black man cry. See, it wasn't like this nonsense that these people grow up in and go to church today. They're always singing about their territory and give me what's mine. It's, you know, 40 acres and a mule. No, this movie wasn't about that. This movie, and look, let's cut to the quick for those of you that are living out of your mind. I know James Cleveland was a homosexual. He was gay. So what? One of the greatest church pianists that ever lived. So you're hetero. So what? That has nothing to do with the man's talent and the beauty of it. Now, you can only, I've been saying this. You want to save this young generation? Come up. You can't save them. The young man thought the movie was totally ridiculous. thought anybody that would, I won't even repeat the explanatives that he gave about the film. And that proves my point, ladies and gentlemen. If stats has it correctly that by the year 2050, the African American family is going to be null and void, I suffered a sneak preview of it today. And I have never, you better hear me, you better hear me, people, I have never been wrong in anything that I said is going to come about. There is such a detest against this old Obi-Wan Kenobi religion that I moved around in for years. Oh, I hear the new Star Wars movie is going to be one where they're going to try to get Luke Skywalker back on track. Well, let me tell you folks something. I never fell off track. And for those of you that know me, because I've been doing these things for years, you know that I told you that this day was coming. See, when I was a pastor in the church, that's when cell phones were becoming very popular. And I used to tell the people from the pulpit, whatever you do, don't give your children cell phones. They don't require it. You don't need to know whether they're home from school. Before the contraption came out, what did you do? You told them to get home. And when you came home from work, you know where they were supposed to be. If they were not at home, they were supposed to leave a note for you to let you know where they were. And you gave them horrific instructions about being home before the sun went down. And if they ever came home late, you would whoop their ass right in front of their other siblings. They don't need a cell phone. They need you to parent. But no, so you gave them cell phones. And then you gave them all the other things. You gave them the 200 machines, and then a 300 machine, then a 400. And then you had the Coach Madden football thing, and then you got the Larry Bird basketball. My God, now you got soccer in that box. You got golf in there. You want to be Tiger Woods. The kid is thoroughly confused because you've given him every damn thing that he's asked you for. You take him to the amusement parks because he wants to laugh and giggle. You've taught him how to use the internet. He's seen naked women, naked men, dogs with having sex with humans, and practically everything else by the time he's 9 1/2 years old, because you're trying to educate him. You think you locked that phone. His classmate is far smarter than you and unlocked it and showed Jethro how to lock it before you check it. You've lost the willpower to parent, because if you're a parent, you're smarter than a child. You will always be smarter than the child. When I was pastoring the church, I used to try to share that idea with the parents. You're smarter than the child. What are you doing arguing with them? What are you doing sharing the power of it? Because once they grow up, you're going to see what that produced. Nothing. Their tabula rasa is blank. I'm sorry, John Locke. Came out, he was a philosopher. I won't give you too much about that, but he came up with this idea that the human mind is like a tabula rasa, a blank slate. There's nothing on it when the child is forming in the mother's womb. When the child is born, the first 5 minutes that he's born, he's still clouded in his vision. They can't see. They have a covering over their eyes that wear off as the light and the heat and the atmosphere gives vent to the baby's body, that he is no longer in the womb being protected from the liquid that covered him, but that he could see. And so he has no image in his mind of his mommy or daddy for about 6 or 7 days until this thing wears off, and then he sees clearly. And if you say, I'm daddy, I'm your pop, and you stroke his little cheek and tickle his foot, and make him smile, then he learns how to love you. You're having communication with your son or with your daughter. That's part of being a parent. And like I told you a day or so ago on this webcast, my parents taught me not to fear the police. Now, this generation would tell you your parents were wrong. No. Back in the day I lived in, the police didn't jump out of their car and choke black men. They hung them in trees if they could get away with it, but they didn't do what they're doing today. And I know that there's always been murderous crimes and heinous acts of human being, but these, listen, I'm going to tell you, by 2050, and I just read something on the internet. Let me see if I can magnify it. It says, because I was talking about the Aretha Franklin film, she just earned a posthumous 2019 Pulitzer Prize. That's what they just awarded to her. And this young man came home talking about the movie that showed what her life was all about. That's how far gone. Man, that's amazing. You can check it. I just saw it on the stream on my Facebook. And that's this young generation. That's how hopelessly gone they are. I was speaking with a friend of mine who asked me, PJ, what can we do? Listen, the only thing that you can possibly do is parent as you will be allowed, because this generation, once they grow up and they go out there with that attitude, they are not going to advance progressively. And if you talk to them and tell them that, they would think that you're killing their vibe, whatever the hell that is. I don't know how anyone, if you're living in a country, and you know what I feel about government and all that, so I'm not pushing the Democratic or the Republican way, I'm not, but I am pushing a certain patronism, if you will, to the land that you're living in. You're here on this continent, living here. I would hope that all of us would attempt to abide by rules of civility as we live amongst one another. But if there are no rules of civility within an individual culture separated from other cultures, you can see that the future of that generation is nothing. Absolutely nothing. And thinkers, there are very few thinkers. Most of them are dreamers. They dream. They come up with an idea to do something. Now, wait a minute. Have you thought this through? No, but see, if I do this, this is going to work. Well, really? Has anybody else ever done that? Did it work for them? And why didn't it work? I don't want to think like that. I don't want to think with somebody else's mind. My thing's going to work. Wait a minute. But you can't tell me how it's going to work. Oh, forget you. You messing up my vibe. That's why I said, what the hell is that? I was trying to get you to reason with me. Because, see, I came up old school. Come now, let us reason together. Let's reason. God said, though your sins be red like blood, I'll wash them up. In other words, communicate with God, and so that he can wash your mind of foolish dreams and put practicality there. What do men need? They need shoes. Do you know how to kill cow and make leather? Well, make a beautiful leather shoe. Open up a company and sell leather shoes. Raise some cows with some brothers. You can be rich too. Hard work. You ever hear that rock and roll song? Hard work. It's not rock and roll, it was jazz, as a matter of fact. I forget the artist. But here, they're just awarding Aretha with a posthumous Pulitzer Prize. Can you believe that? Because of the film that I just went to see and to hear the way the young man bestated it. Would you wonder why black people are so harmful and disturbingly destructive to their own kind, consciously as well as unconsciously? That is beyond me. And yet at the same time would tell you how great of a people that we've come from. Well, they don't believe that unless you agree with everything they say. I don't believe in Disneyland. Disneyland was a product of the mind of Walt Disney, who was a white racist. I know I was one of the first black kids to go to Disneyland years ago. And the white people was giving the little white kids the rides before they gave it to me. Don't ask me to prove it. You can tell the way people look at you. What you doing over here in Orange County? See, when Disneyland first started, there wasn't no blacks living out there. Why you think they built that thing out there? I'm just being real with it. Now, when you can tell that to somebody that thinks that Disneyland, Magic Mountain, all the other amusement parks, these people put that there because they love us, because they, no, they're trying to keep you out of a certain area. So we got to build more of these things to keep these fools entertained. A sidetrack. Doesn't it just blow your mind? The great cathedral in Paris burned down a few days ago, right? Right. Somebody told me that 3 people in France gave billions of dollars already to restore it. And the president is talking about 5 years and it'll be built. Now, we know why he chose 5 years. Because the Olympics was awarded to that city 5 years from now. So he's saying we got to have this church rebuilt back up. He's not building up the church and so they can put a cross up there and those people can go worship God and love other people and all that. That monument makes our country great. That's idolatrous. I don't know how the thing got burned down. I'm not shedding no tears about no building. But you know how much money they were making from the tours of people that would go through that thing? And that building has not heard the word of God preached in it, if it ever was. No, I think it was years ago. There, man, you know, when you think of it, some 800 years ago, go back 800 years and see what kind of message would have been stated in that place. They didn't have electricity. They didn't have microphones. They didn't have television, cell phones. You couldn't take a picture of it. How did they keep the place heated? What did it feel like when it was cold? A building for 800 years. People, do you know how old Europe is? And how young the United States is? That building existed before the country that I'm living in was. But guess what I know? Africa existed. A remnant of my bloodline existed. Wisdom and power existed from my half. I am proud of my culture. I am pleased when my sister sings, albeit a religion given to me by the white man. Couldn't nobody sing it like Aretha? See, Aretha touched the heart of black people who knows that they were the children of slaves. All those black people in that film were responding that way because as Aretha sung and hit the notes, people felt her pain in their heart. Man, that's like going to hear a great guitarist play the blues. When you listen to B.B. King, you know what you're listening to. Well, Aretha was on that. She wasn't trying to have a church service. That young man with me missed the whole freaking point. Reject all religion, But that was the religion of our people, and that religion kept us intact. That's why I was a pastor in that Baptist kind of faith. And whenever I visited churches and I heard them singing like that, I always wept. I wasn't looking at whether the person was gay or straight. I wasn't looking at her whether she was pretty or ugly. I was listening to the words. If you listen to the words that Aretha was saying, you would get it. But if you're so angry, and a man asked me, PJ, what can we do? How can we stop? You know what? I'm going to tell you. There has been a deep gash made in the black person's heart. That sucker's deep. And these people are trying to replace it with stuff that is so improbable. I don't know why God wouldn't send a big comet to this planet and blow it the hell up to end this thing. Ah, that's right. You shouldn't punish the rest of the people of the world because your community is looking like a Looney Tune factory. We won't get off of drugs enough to get our heads clear. And I'm not talking about my sativa that I smoke. I'm not talking about that. I need that. That helps me with my depression and arthritis. You don't have to believe it. And I don't be around here smoking no blunts either. So get that mess out of your mind. And I don't be smoking all day. I'm just saying. And I live in Los Angeles and those shops are all over. So it's legal. You go in there and get that if you need it. Do you need the Bible verse for me to quote it to you and so that I can justify myself as being taken care of by this medicine, by the hand of God? Do I need to grab my Bible and do that? Or do you already know what the verse says? Well, shut the hell up and let me finish this webcast then. Now, as we go forward, and if some of you are saying, what verse? See, that's what I'm saying. But you judged me, didn't you? Yeah, you're messing with me now. John Copeman, don't be coming to no website doing no webcast and going to say something and sound like a blooming idiot. And so you can, I found him wrong. No, you don't know your scripture. I was talking with a young man and showed him that scripture and showed him what it said in the Greek. And see how it is? You know what? Instead of the young man believing me, he got mad at me. And you know what I like about this Bible? The Bible said, preacher, when you tell them what it is, don't you get upset if they get mad at you. This is what God said. They're not mad at you. It's me they're mad at. And God says, oh, there's coming a day when we'll have that face-to-face confrontation. Man, I'm telling you, boy, you know what? Some people need to get a grip. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 7, you skeptic. Now, I'm going to take you through it. You don't have to believe me if you don't want to. As a matter of fact, ask that smart PhD pastor you got. And depending upon what part of the country or what part of the world he's from, even if he reads this from the Hebrew or the Greek, it has the same meaning because the words of the scriptures do not change its meaning over time. That would be like my DNA. If I leave my DNA, if I spit on this microphone, well, I believe that my DNA is all over this microphone. And after I die, someone can say, whose microphone was this? Someone says, that was John Coleman's. No, it wasn't. They can take this big mic to a place, and even though you can rub it and everything, my DNA is all through this microphone. They know that's my spittle, that's me. And if this microphone was laying on the floor in this house under an earthquake, after 5,000 years, they would still be able to mark my DNA. That's God. That's God. because what he makes is eternal. I don't need no New Agers to tell me that. The Bible promises me eternal life. That's why when Aretha was singing about that, she got emotional. She was a wicked woman. Shut the hell up. Go get a life. You don't know anything about that woman. And I'm not concerned about how she lived or what she did, because people would do what they have to do in order to survive. And I'm not going to judge them. You can if you want to. Wasting your time. Give vent that she was a great songstress. Look at verse 7. The ground that drinks the rain which often falls upon it, that means the soil. Just the soil accepts the rain that falls upon it. And then the writer speaks about what happens when the rain falls upon the ground and brings forth vegetation useful to those. Vegetation useful. That's what marijuana is. It is a part of vegetation that is useful. But look at the other part of the verse. For those sake, it is also tilled. In other words, it is put together and planted or tilled for the people that require it. And then the latter part of the verse says, receives a blessing from God. So, let's just get this right now, see, because conservative Christianity would say, well, if you puffing on that sativa, no, I'm not puffing on it. It was tilled, it comes, it's vegetation that comes from the earth. It's not good for you. You don't need it. You don't have arthritis racing through your fingers and all curling up. You don't get depressed sometimes and feels like because you're over 60 years old and nobody wants to come and talk with you or touch you or have anything to do with you. You don't feel like you want to just self-implode sometimes. That's how the sativa helps me. Keeps my mind clear and straight on the subject matter. Doesn't have me talking babble. What's the matter with you? I know some people now that would love to talk to me, but because they know I smoke sativa, they think I'm of the devil. Well, you know what? Think anything you want to. I'm not stopping because of what people think. God just told me in his blessed word in the Hagias Biblos, the Bible. All right? Now, I had a Quran. I think I gave it to a friend of mine. But I'm not Muslim. I'm not Islamic. See? Wait a minute. Let me see who this is. Oh, yeah. Hello.
Hello. This is a total health message from Kaiser Permanente for John Coleman. Para español, oprima el número dos. About a week ago, we sent you a postcard asking you to call and make an appointment for an eye exam to utilize your vision benefit allowance.
Oh, wonderful.
If you have already done so, please disregard this message. If not, we want to remind you to call 800-954-8000.
I am going to call that number. I am going to call that number because I was just saying that I need another pair of eyeglasses because I want to read some other stuff, but the words are too small, and look what happens. You see, listen, I don't have the money to go out and spend on a pair of reading glasses. And here I am, 75 and squeaking all up, but I have one of those phones where my hospital will call me and say, hey, you can come and get some readers for nothing. So I'm going to call that number and make an appointment. And now, you see how I trust in God? And my whole life is like that now. I'm a senior citizen. Well, how did you do that? I tell these youngsters, I work my whole life. Every day, got up and went and got on a job. You see, now they're not going to call you and tell you you can get a pair of readers when, have you worked? Have you? I don't believe in this system. Well, you know what? I believe that the whole United States system is going to self-implode if we don't start loving each other and stop treating each other like manure. That's all I got to say about that. And these wicked people, you look at what's happening all around the world. Right now, I had Zerix call me this morning, and he said, John, I said, what? He said, give me your statement. I said, my statement on what, man? He said, come on, John, give me your statement. Look at what's happening all around the world. You ain't never been wrong. What do you see? Talk to me. Yeah, he sees what's happening in those African countries. Chinese going around ripping off these people's land. I was shown a quick video clip of how in Papua New Guinea, the Chinese and these people then got together and sold off the natives' land, and somebody's trying to ask about it, and everybody's just hop, skipping, and jumping, just taking advantage of people that the world has gone stark, raving mad. And they're over there in Libya fighting, they're in Somalia fighting, and then northern or southern, whatever, everybody's killing each other. And Venezuela, Lord have mercy, they got the power back on over there yet? Man, people can't even get a loaf of bread unless they have $25. When I see all this stuff going on, people, let me tell you something. It does something to me. And then I look at the young people, bless their little hearts. Listen to wisdom. You know what? I should get the book of Proverbs and just wisdom. Wait a minute. I got something right here. I'm tired of this. Man, I hope my friend is listening to me from the Carolinas, because you asked me what's wrong and what's happening. No, I can't see it right now. My gosh. Oh, no. They don't have it here. I'm looking at the wrong book. But there was something that had all of the wisdom verses, especially I thought I had it at my fingertips, from the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament. See, you know, there's sayings. And it was one that the young man was talking to me over the phone from back east. And he was talking about the tragedy that's going to come on someone that will not listen to wisdom. If you don't listen to what is right, everything you're headed towards is going to be wrong. See, that's the way it always works. That is the law of karma. It is a universal law. It happens. Somebody tell you, listen, a sage tells you something that for generations, Obi-Wan Kenobi has spoken. That's why you got to see the first Star Wars movie that came out. Because when Luke could not, look, Obi-Wan Kenobi was dead, and then the Yoda came. The Yoda had to teach Luke how to lift that jet up out of the lake. I remember I was a grown man when I saw the movie, and I said, now how did George Lucas get out of this mix? I may watch a movie tonight. I have the whole series. I love the storyline of Star Wars. A young man, Luke Skywalker, rigorous to get out in this world and to challenge everything and to change everything and make it right. And look what he found out his daddy was. See? Now you look at some of these young men today. How you think they acting when they find out what their daddy was and what they did? And God called me, and God called me, and God called some of you to look at some of these people and love them with an extraordinary love, because it's going to take that kind of extraordinary love to change our situation around. I believe God can do it. You know what? A lot of the naysayers are saying in by the year 2050, the African-American family will be of so little effect that they will not register on a national register in this country for being a community of any substance at all. At all. Meaning they are not offering in the community that they are living in. All right, let me give you another way to put this. Meaning that they are not participating in adding to the progressive nature of the community in which they are living in these border walls of the United States of America. It simply means, when spoken clearly, that whites and Hispanics and Asians will have no need of dark-skinned people because of their not being able to contribute to a community which is progressive. They become a determinant factor in the destruction of that same community, and their city councils and police departments and legislatures will not allow people like that to continue to pollute their environment. So now you tell me what the powers that be are going to have to do. And don't be coming with me with no black power, black power. You can say black my, you know what. No, I'm not going to start cussing at you. I'm fed up with the bull. Because see, that's how come I left the church. Because when you told them facts like that, and then you try to get them to see it, that's what happened to the church. The church refused to look at the facts. So what did they do? They sowed the seed in the wind. And you know what happens when you have a handful of grain and you throw it when there's a big windstorm blowing against the direction that you're throwing it in? You've sowed it to the wind. And you're going to reap the whirlwind. You hear that police helicopter over my house? It's commonplace in the inner city. They're looking for somebody. And when they catch him, he's going to reap the whirlwind. That's what happened to the youngsters in our community. That's why they're killing each other in Chicago and they can't do anything. That is why, and this man told me that lives back east, that they're starting to kill each other in his community. And he lives where people got houses, making pretty good money. Lost control of your children completely. Gave them everything. Well, I hope that this congratulations, Sister Aretha. Posthumously, they want to give you a prize. You see what that prize is? The Pulitzer Prize. Now, you know what the Pulitzer for. That's for writing, choreography, for art. See, you got to see that film, Amazing Grace. They couldn't help but to give her that. I watched the movie and couldn't stop crying. Even because I was able to, and listen, I was able in my mind to go back to a place that I lived in so many years ago. Young people cannot go back that far. They have that it's before they were born. So it has nothing to do with them. See. You have to know the danger that our community finds itself. And God only knows what kind of teachers you got in these schools. What are they teaching about the death of Martin Luther King? Or Malcolm X? Yeah, they were on different planes of intellect, no doubt. Had to be, because all black men don't think alike. Why I want to be around a dude always thinking like I think? I want to be around somebody that's thinking different from me and offers me another way to get done what needs to get done. You see. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've lost it. We've lost it, but you can get it back. You can get it back by standing your ground. Stand your ground. If I see that young man again, I'm going to ask him, what do you think about her getting the Pulitzer Prize? Oh, God. No, I'm not going to ask him. He doesn't need that information. I let him stay in the clouds. It's floating around. They're like little children playing childish games. Grown men. A friend of mine, and he's a friend of mine, recently got out of prison. Out of prison. And I asked him, okay, you're out. What are you going to do? My God. He's going to be one of those persons on the streets that the people in this new community that's being formed all around us is not going to put up with his offspring when he's 70 years old and his offspring is, that's making him too old. When he's 40 years old and his offspring is 20, he's going to see them all taken away in a basket to a camp area. It's going to look like a military base, and he'll be put in a billets. It's kind of like the draft, because when I got drafted, that's what they did to me. Told me to be at a certain place, cut off all my hair, sprayed me with white powder, stripped me down naked, gave me some white boxer shorts and a t-shirt, I think about 5 pair of each, pair of black boots, 2 pair of green denim, and a dress pair of khaki denims, short sleeve and long sleeve, and a jacket, and a couple of hats, and some water boots, and the dog chain which I have around my neck jingling right now. These are the original dog tags they gave me when I was in the Army. Around my neck. I wear them every day if I can. But you think the white man don't know where I am and who I am? He knows exactly who I am and where I am. And it don't bother me at all. Now let me tell you why it doesn't bother me. Because I've been eating every day of my life, thank God, in this country. Oh yeah, see, you can, this generation can spit on the flag and do all that stuff all you want to. I know where my living comes from. And when I see what's happening in the Sudan and all those places over there, I'm kind of happy to be here. Now, you know, you can go suffer with people like that all you want to. I'm happy to be here. And I'm happy that somebody wants to keep my place in such a state of mind that ain't nobody gonna come and overrun me when I get hungry, and then I won't have nothing. I'm kind of selfish like that. I think everybody got their own country where they are, albeit I'm a child of a slave. I am a conservative black man. I'm not a Republican, but I'm conservative. And I like working for what I have. Now, if I were a cripple and were not able to work, I would be on the socialistic side, asking for more food and help that I can get. Trust me, that phone call that I allowed to be recorded is just the result of me working a regular job most of my life, and that's the rewards I get for being with an HBO, a hospital, whatever they think. My rewards for being there most of my adult life. They want to give me a pair of glasses. Now, I tell these youngsters, you got to vote. I ain't slaving for nobody. Can you believe that? I think the next good thing for a person like that is hunger. Because I believe hunger can change everything. And when that comes to this country, you will remember this webcast. Thank you so much for coming to my site. And go see that movie, Amazing Grace, documentary by Aretha. And again, congratulations, Aretha, for having this, albeit a posthumous prize of the Pulitzer Prize. Posthumously, they awarded to her. And that's a wonderful thing. Well, how come they didn't give it the... Shut up, fool. Look up what it means to posthumously give an award, and you'll see why she received it. Thank you for coming to my web. Oh, and you may find it on Google if you say it right. Thank you for coming to my website. God bless.